This is Bulls Beat on Bulls Unlimited. Bulls Beat is your stop for exclusive interviews, highlights, and the very latest on all sports at the University of South Florida. With today's show, here's your host, Derek Sharp.
Right in the heart of the conference tournaments when it comes to golf and tennis, it was a terrific Thursday for the USF programs, both winning in separate towns. We'll tell you what they did and what they've got to do today to continue to try and win a conference tournament championship. Women's golf, as we told you on Wednesday's show, was in great position to win one. Didn't work out that way. I'll have a full recap as I was there in Brooksville. SMU backed up last year's conference championship thanks to a tremendous showing on the back nine in Brooksville, but still plenty to look forward to for Erica Brennan's team. We'll look forward to men's golf trying to claim a title this weekend, beginning today, actually, in Bel Air. We've got previews of both the series for baseball and softball to bring you. We'll do that in our second segment, along with telling you what's going on with track and field and a little sailing update for you as well. So we'll get to the golf here shortly. Wanted to definitely spotlight what tennis was up to on Thursday. We'll start with the women, just going in chronological order. Both teams are in the quarterfinals after what they did on Thursday, and both had to rally from a loss in doubles. If you're not familiar with the format for college tennis, you have one doubles point up for grabs and then six singles matches, and every win gets you a point in the first of four. That's the end of the match. Well, the doubles point is gained by whoever wins two sets. You have three doubles teams, and once the second victory for either side is claimed, the doubles point is earned and you move on to singles. Well, for the women's team, like the men, who we'll tell you about in a few minutes, they were behind 1-0 because they lost the doubles point. At number three court, it was a 6-2 win from North Texas. It was closer on the other two courts, but the mean green prevailed. And even though the Bulls were seeded fifth, and North Texas, a 500 team, 12. You can't be surprised because North Texas not only took the doubles point from the Bulls when they met this year, they went 17-8 in doubles this season, which is just fantastic. But in singles, the Bulls had to win four matches, and they won three of them easily. It was all just about getting one of the other three. Actually, number one player, Grace Schumacher, in her fourth season with the Bulls out of Australia, got a win 6-3, 6-1. On the number six court, the transfer from Incarnate Word, Gargi Parwar, gets the win easily, 6-love, 6-3, and also a 6-love first set on the fourth court for the second-year Bull, fifth-year collegiate transfer from Mississippi State, Marta Falsetto Font, also won her second set 6-3. So at that time, those matches are kind of in hand, but all the other three matches aren't certain, so the Bulls are going to have to grab one of them, and they got it from a player who actually did not play the first time the Bulls in North Texas met up. That's Naja Bay Christian. 7-5, so she prevailed in a close first set. 6-3 in the second set, and when she won that set, the match was clinched. And good thing, because North Texas actually was a set up on both the 3 and the 5 singles courts, and they were early in the second set on number 5 singles, because the first set went a tiebreaker against Kelly Vargas of the Bulls. And then Melissa Senli, who has been great, the freshman from Turkey, had dropped her first set and was 5-all in the second. But again, at the conference tournament level, and it happens a lot during the regular season, once one team's got that fourth point, it's over because they got to turn around and play the next day, and they're trying to get other matches in on the court and get things moved along. So today's opponent, the fourth seed Rice, sometimes you have to dig back in the scouting reports to remember an opponent. The Bulls won't have to do that. This was the second to last opponent they faced this year. The Owls defeated the Bulls down in Miami. They were playing at the FIU complex, turned around and met FIU the next day and lost both of those matches 4-love to end their regular season. By the way, FIU ranked 27th in the country. But that win for Rice put them, the Owls, into that fourth seed by their computer ranking just ahead of the Bulls. It's the reason why the Bulls had to get in an extra match. In that one, Rice, which is now 11-9, the Bulls improved to 12-10 with the win yesterday. All three double sets were close with Rice prevailing, but Federica Trevisan, who has won six matches now in a row, and she is out of Italy. She's the rare four-year player. Her first year at Rice, she went 14-2 and hasn't stopped winning since. Well, she played Naja Bay Christians, who got moved into the number one spot for that match, and it was 6-1, 6-love, while Grace Schumacher was playing in the number two match and actually was still going when the match was clinched. Rice got a pretty easy win at the number 5 court and relatively easy straight set victory at number 6. So I'm guessing that Schumacher will go up against Trevisan. Either way, that's a tough matchup. The Bulls, I think, doubles becomes a lot more important today to try and grab it. Bulls have a solid computer ranking near the top 60 now, but are going to no doubt have to win this whole thing. The women's side of things, the last several years, honestly, UCF was kind of the best team in the conference, although each of the last 2 years, SMU and Memphis also got bids to the NCAA tournament. Actually, SMU rolled UCF in the final. The Mustangs were the number 1 seed, as they are this year. Well, let's not assume. They presumably will play the winner of this match. SMU is the number 1 seed. You look at their record at 10-11, you go, wait a second. Yeah, they played a great schedule. They have to defeat number 9 seed UTSA, which won a thriller in the 8-9 matchup with Tulane 4-2. And then that'll be the first matchup today, so the Bulls probably be putting an eye on them at 9 a.m., and then the Bulls and Rice go at it at noon. This is in Dallas. Then it's the number 2 seed Charlotte. We'll go up against 7th seed Wichita State, which knocked out rival Tulsa 4-0 yesterday. And then the number 3 seed, always strong Memphis, will be going up against FAU, which won the 6-11 matchup with UAB. Bulls looking for their first NCAA tournament trip since 2017. The men were the dominant team in the first years of the American, being the number 1 seed 3 times, winning 4 out of the first 5 championships. More recently, the Bulls won it in 2019 in thrilling fashion against the top seed UCF. The next year actually lost the War on I-4 in the championship matchup, but still gained entry into the NCAA tournament, as they did back in 2022. Last season, the Bulls missed out on the NCAAs. And this season, because they played such a tough schedule and had so many close defeats, they came into the tournament with a 9-16 record, so obviously they're going to have to pull off some run. And that includes beating the number 1 seed today, just in the quarterfinals. But guess what? The Bulls can do it. They have competed strongly with Memphis already this season. We'll tell you about that in a minute, but first of all, we got to tell you about their win in the 8-9 matchup with UAB, and it was close, and that's been the case for the Bulls basically all during a 7-match losing streak. They've had a chance to win almost every single one of those 7 matches and just couldn't quite pull it off, so I think what happened on Thursday could be the start of something special. Now, the Bulls just recently became an unranked team. To be ranked in the ITA's eyes, you're in the top 75, but still 80th, according to the computers, and certainly a dangerous team, and not too far behind them. It's why it was the 8-9 matchup, UAB. Bulls and Blazers had met in Tampa back on March the 12th, and it was a really kind of a dominant showing for UAB in doubles, but easy wins for the Bulls on the singles courts. 3 wins where they did not drop more than 2 games in a set, and then the other one was a 6-3, 6-4 victory. So anything like that, you're in good shape. Problem was, again, UAB won the doubles point. In this case, it came down to a tiebreaker on the number 2 court. So this was critical, and it went 7-4 in UAB's favor. And then starting things off in singles, everything was tight except for one match. Eric Grevelius rolled in his match 6-1, 6-4. But the Bulls were going to have to, basically, on the other 5 courts, win 3 of them. What was concerning was the Bulls' top player, Alvin Todorka, was actually against an opponent that, frankly, you would have assumed he would have beaten, because Giorgio Nouchakis just recently was made the number 1 player for UAB in their starting lineup. He had actually been in the 3 spot when these teams played earlier, for example. But he took the first set from Todorka 6-1. Meanwhile, Elijah Cham won his first set 6-2, so if you just based on what was going on in those 2 matches, those are going to be easy wins. Well, unfortunately for Cham, he lost the second set, but fortunately for Todorka, what a turnaround. 6-1, 5-2, he was down. That means you're about to lose. He rallied back to win the second set 7-5. While that was happening, you had 2 Bulls who dropped their first set take the second set. And frankly, if that doesn't happen, the season is probably done. We're wrapping it up right now. Augustin Cuellar at the number 5 court. And these are massive efforts from the Bulls, by the way, and the reason I think something special could be in store. He is a transfer from Jacksonville State, originally from Bolivia. He forced a third set. So did Thomas Pavlikovich Smith, both by 6-4 scores, so these were not easy results. And then Tom Pessain, who is from Belgium, a transfer from LSU, had lost his first set in a tiebreaker and was in a tight second set. Add it all up, it was anybody's match. Again, Grevelius won his match easily and can't undersell that. So who would grab the next result? The Australians for the Bulls got to work. Thomas Pavlikovich Smith again lost the first set 7-5, then 6-4 and 6-1. So the Bulls were ahead 2-1. However, UAB pulled even on the number 3 court as their Andrej Valak defeated Pessain in another tiebreaker. So if that tiebreaker goes the Bulls' way, then you're really looking good, as it was. Great effort, but we're tied at 2, and there's 3 matches left, and they're all close in the third set. Cham, the second Australian victory for the Bulls, 6-4 in his third set, and so you just needed one more, but both of the other two matches were tight. So tight, as a matter of fact, that Todorica went to a third set tiebreaker. While he was doing that, Cuellar was down 5-4 on serve on the 5 court. So you were hoping for the tiebreaker to end it, and that's what happened. Todorica, what a massive effort. 7-4 in the tiebreak. That makes the final score 4-2, which again in tennis, sometimes the final score doesn't tell the whole story because this was as tight as it could be. But great job, Bulls. Now just go out and beat the number 1 team in the conference, number 32 in the country, but a Memphis Tiger team that came to Tampa. Granted, this was back on February the 16th, but the Bulls were right there in it. Todorica won his match. Grevelius pulled off a 3-setter where he took the second set in a tiebreaker, and Pessain won his match. The other 2 were straight set victories for Memphis, and the one that secured the victory was a 3-setter. In other words, the Bulls have every chance, but this Tigers team is 16-5. They played not just among the many good teams in the conference, a strong schedule. They have wins recently against top 50 teams from power leagues like Oklahoma State, like Clemson. They've also knocked off Arkansas and Ole Miss. Arkansas is an NCAA tournament team for sure. Ole Miss is actually the weakest team in the SEC, but that has them ranked 63rd in the country, which is still nationally ranked. The rankings go like this in the American, if you're wondering. Today's opponent, Memphis, is 32nd, as we mentioned. SMU 42, FAU 45. Those are the only 2 teams that have at-large hopes. So it's going to be a very interesting weekend in Tulsa, loaded up with drama. Tulsa is the number 5 seed. They had an easy time against their rival, number 12 seed, Wichita State. So second seed at SMU will begin at 10 a.m. today against Tulane. Then it's the number 3 seed, FAU, challenged by Charlotte. Number 4, Rice, at 2 o'clock will be going up against Tulsa. That's, of course, Tulsa advantage having the home court. And then also at 2 o'clock, you can go to theamerican.org and get live scoring and live video of the 8-seeded Bulls against Memphis. Semifinals are Saturday. Finals are Sunday on both the men's and the women's side. And we'll, of course, let you know what's going on with tennis during our baseball broadcast this weekend. We'll tell you about baseball and softball in our second segment, along with track and field and more. Women's golf wrapped up the AAC tournament. The men begin today, and people heard there was a tremendous, and I mean tremendous, pro-USF showing there at the Southern Hills Golf Club in Brooksville, all hoping to see the Bulls pull off the conference championship. That would have been their first since the Big East, and the Bulls had that 6-stroke lead, as we told you about. But they also had some big-time challengers in SMU, as the defending champ and indeed the highest-ranked team in the conference, along with Tulsa. And both of those squads had very good days, while the Bulls, unfortunately, had their highest score. They had shot a 277, 11 under on Tuesday, ended up going 4 over 292 on Wednesday. And at least there was no last-minute drama. You kind of knew right away that it was going to be a big-time challenge, as Tulsa actually pulled even and briefly took the lead from the Bulls there on the front 9. Going at the turn, updated, the Bulls and Tulsa were tied. SMU was 5 shots behind, and SMU just absolutely ripped it up on the back 9. In fact, they only had 2 bogeys from their entire lineup while putting up 13 birdies, and they ended up winning by 2 shots, as it turned out, over Tulsa. SMU finished 21 under par It was neck and neck over the final two holes with them in Tulsa at 19 under. The Bulls would be five shots back at 14 under. But just to put it in perspective, first of all, there are a lot of teams, not only in this tournament, but in other tournaments all over the country that would take what the Bulls had. They're 14 under par and their position of knowing they're going to the NCAA tournament. Secondly, after those three teams, and yes, the Bulls had as much as a 10-shot lead briefly on Wednesday and ended up seven shots out of first place, and they were disappointed. More on that in a second. But after the Bulls, no one else was under par. So 14 under, it's not like Southern Hills was handing out birdies, as I said, just to some really, really good teams who were earning the birdies. And by the way, SMU, it's not like they were sinking a lot of long putts. They were just all over it. I actually briefly saw their number five golfer, Ashley Chow, because the players with the highest score for their teams were in the first group to finish. And I should have known it when I saw it, because she could not wait to go from one green to the next. She was shooting a four under par back nine. That's how SMU, and by the way, their top three golfers are all in the top 100 and all finished right at five under par, tied for fifth. That's how they pulled it off, and you got to give them credit. But after the Bulls, it was East Carolina at two over par, and basically some teams way over par. North Texas, which is a bubble team, finished 10 over for the tournament with an even par final round. So no doubt the Bulls have a lot to be proud of, including their third place finish equaling their previous best at the American Athletic Conference Tournament. Their 14 under par score, by far their best score in relation to par, last year's even par score, which had them in fifth place and right on the NCAA tournament bubble, and they got in, had been their previous best. So 14 under, well done, ladies. And all of this is nothing that they wanted to hear on Wednesday. And I love this, by the way, and I was there, and I didn't do any interviews because these ladies were crushed, because they wanted to win it, and that's important. I think as gut-wrenching as it was to see in person, they were devastated, but I think, A, that's what you want, and of course I don't mean you wanted them to lose, but you want to see that reaction of, no, they weren't happy with third place. They weren't happy with by far the best score in the AAC tournament in school history. They were not feeling any consolation. B, clearly they are going to be motivated for the NCAA tournament, which we'll talk about more next week. As far as the actual performance Wednesday, when the match could have gone either way. Now, there was one tremendous approach shot. Now, that was the difference. The approach shots just weren't there, or tee shots on par threes. Bulls didn't have a bunch of what you'd call readily makeable birdie putts, but Melanie Green, and I wish I had been following her, when you're trying to follow five groups and stay ahead of the action, Green was in the last group, you're not going to see every great shot. Well, she holed out 50-yard eagle and actually got the description from one of the many Bulls fans that were there real briefly, by the way. Old school Buccaneer fans will appreciate this. I walked from the 9th green to the 10th tee, which is about a mile walk, with Armonte Marshall, men's soccer assistant for the Bulls. And he had a nice conversation with the man he was telling me about. And then he said, hey, what's your name? Parnell Dickinson. He's like, go Bucks? Yeah, the first Bucks quarterback, turns out, lives up there and was watching the Bulls and cheering for them. But MG had that fantastic shot. Back to the shot itself, she hit the flagstick twice in a row on 17 and 18 and had the ball carry off the green in her second round. So this one looked like it was going to do the same, but I guess just missed the flagstick, landed a few yards past and checked back and boom, dropped in. The Bulls, even though they had pulled to within one shot at that time, just did not have enough birdies down the stretch that you needed to. On that back nine, Green actually shot, as she did for the final round, even par. No other Bull was below par or at par on that final day. For the entire event, you had, as it turned out, three Bulls in the top 10, led by Green at six under par. Then it was Emma Foucher, who was really solid. Three under par, shot a one over final round. The freshman in fine form, alone in ninth place, actually, and then a group at two under included the Bulls' Alyssa Montgomery, who loved watching her, very enthusiastic young lady. That is a big addition to the team. Elise Vidal dropped two shots to even par at 15th. Some drama at the top, by the way, because Daniela Ebonse from UTSA got the automatic spot as an individual into the NCAA tournament by winning the conference tournament. The person that was one shot behind her is going to be playing because her team, Tulsa, advances, most likely anyway. But Ebonse was done early and Lovisa Gunner from Tulsa was a shot behind her with 8 holes left and parred out. So Abonse at 9 under par was the individual champion, NCAA tournament bound. SMU, the team champion, NCAA tournament bound regardless, but they get the trophy, obviously. Tulsa is going. The Bulls are definitely going. They'll learn where they're going next Wednesday, and we will have full selection show coverage for you next week. Men tee off today, baseball and softball series previews. We got track and field, as well as sailing, all that, and some basketball news coming your way. Roster additions to tell you about all in just a minute on Bulls Beat.